coming is mighty power. I've spoken peace to my soul, and all of my life from that very hour I've yielded to his control. I've yielded to his control. Oh, it is wonderful, it is marvelous and wonderful, what he has done for this soul, my soul, the heart has never been told. Oh, it is wonderful, it is marvelous and wonderful, what Jesus has done for this soul.
And brighter and brighter the glory dawns, while pressing my homeward way, while pressing my homeward way. Oh, it is wonderful, it is marvelous and wonderful, what Jesus has done for this soul, my soul, the
It is wonderful what God has done for our souls, those who have looked to Him in faith, believing, repenting of their sins, putting their trust in God. It is truly wonderful what God has done for our soul. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Christians at Ephesus, said, "And you hath He made alive," or "you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." He says, we used to be ungodly, unholy. We used to be sinners, just like everybody around us. But when we were there, dead in trespasses and sins, God, rich in mercy, came and saved us and changed us. Now we are His workmanship. It's interesting to note that the Greek word translated into English as workmanship in this particular verse comes from the Greek word poema, from which we get our English word poem. For we are His poem, or His creative artistry, His masterpiece. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Who did it? Who was the one who wrought these things in us? Not ourselves, certainly not. But the love of God, the grace of God, it is the touch of Jesus. As he reached down and touched my soul and touched your soul, when the Savior reached way down for me. For we were sinners until Christ saved us. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But God, I love those two words. You could preach a good sermon on that, couldn't you? But God, here I was lost and undone. Here I was hopeless. But God came to the rescue. But God did a miracle in this soul of mine. Thank him for his love and his grace, and we are his workmanship, his poetic work, his creative artistry, his masterpiece. It is his working. For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I'm thankful that not only does God command us to be such and such, he doesn't just say, be holy, be pure, be loving. He doesn't just stand there giving us the commandment, but what he commands, he gives to us the ability to do. For God is faithful. He who has called you to be holy will see to it by his divine working in you to make you holy. So what is there for us to do? It is up to us to yield ourselves totally, fully, completely to him, 100%. Just turn your life over to God. Say, Lord, glorify yourself in me. Help me to be crucified with Christ. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The whole idea is, if you're going to live a godly life, it has to be Jesus living in you and through you. We simply cannot do it. The world around us is too corrupt. Society is too sensual. Everything is too worldly. The allurements of sin are too tempting. Everything is bigger than we can handle. But the one who makes a difference, that causes you to live a pure and a godly life in the midst of a crooked society, is the power of the living Christ living in you. Let us become more and more emptied of self and filled with God. That's the secret, isn't it? As John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. And certainly the more of self gets out of the way and the more we become filled with Jesus, the easier it is going to be to live a godly life, a Christian life. Well, I enjoy these moments that we spend together in morning devotions day after day, Monday through Friday. I'm happy to have you out there in that unseen audience Monday through Friday as we share together the goodness of the Lord and just be reminded how much God loves us. That's something we need to be reminded of, because life can be so unfair and the obstacles can loom so high before us. And I just think it's encouraging to hear someone say, God loves you. You are included in his love if you want to be. Of course, there are those who slam shut the door and they say, God, get out of my life. I want nothing to do with you. And God isn't going to come bursting into our lives unwelcomed, uninvited. But if you will invite him, if you'll open the door and ask Jesus to come in, he will be there, not only to save you, not only to forgive you your sins and take you to heaven, but he will be there to bring peace into your troubled life, to heal those emotions, to give you the ability to cope with life? Doesn't the Bible promise that God will not put upon you more than you're able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it? And as you put your trust in the Lord, not only for our soul's salvation, as we think of heaven someday, and I love to do that, but what about the here and now? What about in this moment? What about all the crises that we face? What about your business, your job, your decisions, all the frustrations of living? Can God be there to help you cope with that? The answer is absolutely yes. Yes, He can. Yes, He will. Yes, He does. As we turn the eyes of our soul heavenward and put our trust in Him, we will find God a mighty refuge, a strength in the day of trouble. He will bring peace to your jangled nerves, your upset emotions. Only believe, only trust Him. Just call upon Him. Not as some last resort, but let Him be the first one that you call upon. And dear friend, let's do be reminded today that God loves you and me very much. Now, that doesn't mean that nothing bad is ever going to happen to you because God loves you so much. Just read history and you'll find that some of those who walked the closest to God suffered the most. Christians down through the centuries have been tested and tempted and tried by the devil. They have been taken by ungodly men and burned at the stake and thrown to the lions, and they've suffered untold agony. Just because Jesus calls you into close fellowship with Him, to walk near to Him, doesn't mean that now that you have become one of heaven's favorites, you're going to escape all the troubles of life. Nothing could be further from the truth. All that live godly in Christ Jesus, said Paul, shall suffer persecution. We know that. But what we also know is that in the midst of it, God is our strength. And we can say with David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's the positive expression of Scripture. Let's cling to those things as an anchor for the soul. Let the winds blow. Let the rains come. Let the floods arise. With my hand in God's hand, I don't have to be afraid of anything. Isn't that true? Well, the Lord does love you, and I'm glad to be able to remind you of that again and again.
Oh, how sweet it is to know Jesus loves me, that wherever I may go, Jesus loves me. In His love each day I'm growing, how my heart is overflowing with the glory just of knowing Jesus loves me. On the cross in deep distress, He set me free. Greater love hath none than this, He died for me. So great, where is thy power? Shining tower, star of sorrows, darkest hour, Jesus.
loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport all divine, in a love which cannot cease, I'm his and he is mine. I think that's one of the greatest hymns ever written. Written by George Wade Robinson, who was born in the year 1838. You know, spiritual maturity is a growing appreciation of God simply for who he is, not for just all the gifts he gives to you and all the prayers he answers and all the blessings he pours into your life, but spiritual maturity is a growing appreciation of God simply for who he is. Loved with everlasting love, when you come to know the Lord in a very real and personal way, not because of all his blessings, but because of who he is, only then can we begin to revel in our eternal union with him. This realization gives all of life a different perspective, doesn't it? Life takes on a new dignity, worth, and meaning. Even nature is viewed differently. As Robinson says here in his hymn, heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs o'erflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know as now I know, I am his and he is mine. Haven't you found that so? Have you ever felt so forlorn and forsaken and down and blue and depressed and melancholy and all the other sad adjectives you can think of, and you felt your life had just, your world come tumbling in, and then you got down on your knees to pray, or maybe you started to just sing a little song, a little chorus of worship, and there in the Lord's presence, it seemed that that heavy burden was lifted and the gloom dispelled, and even nature itself seemed brighter. The grass was greener, the sky was bluer. You saw things that Christless eyes never do see. And what made the difference? You got in right relationship with Jesus. Your sins forgiven. You submitted yourself to God's will instead of feeling that antagonism or that bitterness or that resentment in your heart toward God and toward people. You just yielded yourself to him and you said, Lord, if it be possible, take this from me. But even if you don't, I love you. I trust you. Not my will, but thine be done. And in that holy submission, you found peace and love and happiness. Maybe the situation hasn't changed. Maybe things remain just as they have always been. But you have changed. You're different. Maybe that old fellow that is a thorn in the flesh is still around. Maybe things haven't changed, but you have changed. It doesn't bother you like it used to, because now your heart is right with God. You have submitted to his will. You're not living in the bitterness of your soul, but you're living in the joy of the Spirit, regardless of situations. And I think there's a lot to be said about that. Of course, what we prefer that the situation of life change to my liking. That's my preference. But you know, and I know, it is not always God's will to change things and to remove that thorn in the flesh. Sometimes he just simply says, my grace is sufficient for you. I'll be with you in trouble. No, I will not grant that request, but I will give you the strength to bear it. Sometimes he grants it. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he just reassures us that his grace is sufficient and he'll see us through. But if we could just come to that point in life where we are totally submitted to God and we say yes to him. I don't think we can make bargains with God. Do you? I mean bargains that say, God, if you will answer this prayer, if you will give me my wish, if you will do such and such for me, then I will love you and I will serve you. We can't do that. We say, Lord, this is what I want, and this is what I wish, and this is what I hope will come to pass. But even if it doesn't, my heart belongs to you. I surrender all. I love you, God. And I like that last stanza, best of all, I guess. His forever, only his. Who the Lord and me shall part? Ah, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn light and gloom decline, but while God and I shall be, I am his, and he is mine. What a beautiful relationship. What a beautiful relationship to know that you belong to Jesus and he belongs to you. That's true Christianity, isn't it? The old hymns like this that were written many, many long years ago. And I also enjoy the new ones, the new praise courses and that speak of worship and our love for the Lord. I came across one recently that I have just played it over and over and over, listening to it and singing along with it. And it's sung by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Singers of New York City. I want you to listen to this. Maybe it's a little chorus that you could learn, sing it in your own church, or sing it in the car as you're traveling on your way to work. Nothing as precious as you, Lord. No one so dear to my heart as you. And that's the message of this little chorus. It's just a praise chorus. Something whereby we can worship the Lord and express our adoration and our appreciation to him. Listen to it, and maybe you can learn it and sing it in your church or in your time of worship. Nothing is precious as you, Lord. I love the old hymns, and I love these new songs that have recently been written that speak the very desire of our soul. Don't you? Listen to it. There's nothing sweeter in life than a group of Christians meeting together and just singing a little song like this in worship. There's nothing more precious than you, Lord. Well, I've enjoyed being with you as we have joined together for 30 minutes of morning devotions. This is John Thrasher. Thank you for listening. And if you'd like to write to the program sometime, let me know that you are out there in that unseen audience listening. And I trust that the program is a spiritual uplift and a help to you day by day. Our mailing address, Morning Devotions, Post Office Box 552, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. Have a nice day, and may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you throughout this day.
I wish you grace and peace.